In the air, Srishant takes it! India wins!
He'll come back for the second. India have won the test match. India have won the series.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the 81 All Out podcast. This is Siddhartha Vaidyanathan at Sidvi on Twitter. And I'm joined today by the usual crew, Mahesh, Ashoka and Karthikeya. All of them on Twitter. I'll link their handles. I'll link Karthikeya's Substack and also articles relevant to what we're going to be discussing. And what we're going to be discussing is the second test between India and Australia that finished 5 minutes ago in Delhi. This match was a fascinating game, actually. And India ended up winning it by 6 wickets. Could have gone either way. The 3 days were, seesaw battle. But in the end, I guess what we will end up remembering from this test is a bit of comedy and a bit of farce and a bit of tragedy. With the Australian collapse on the third morning to Ashwin and Jadeja, primarily Jadeja. And I'm saying that to troll Ashoka also, just to emphasize the point. Ashoka, primarily Jadeja. But India retained the Border Gavaskar trophy. They now have had it since 2017. And it's probably, definitely the longest they've had it. Big picture thoughts on using the sweep shot, Nathan Lyon, anything. Akshar Patel, the legendariness of Akshar Patel. Yeah, I mean, so we'll talk about all that. Quick reminder, number one, thank you for everyone who has been supporting us on Ko-fi. That's ko-fi.com/81allout. It's really grateful for your generosity. Also thankful for people who have been buying the books that we have been republishing. War Minus the Shooting by Mike Marcusi, Cricket Beyond the Bazaar by Mike Coward. So people have still been buying these books quite often and reading them. So that's great. And I got a couple of interesting queries recently. Over the last few days asking why we are not reviewing every day of this series. I'd just like to clarify that, number one, all of us have day jobs going. We have to also support our families with actual jobs. So that is number one. Number two, we also live in different time zones. So it's going to be require me to sacrifice on quite a bit of sleep and require these guys to sacrifice quite a bit of work time if we have to do this every day. But yeah, we try and do it every test. So yeah, anyway, thank you for your feedback. Thank you for everything. Mahesh, thoughts? To put it just succinctly, what the hell happened?
I think it was a close contest to begin with. So at least till, the second innings of Australia unraveled, which was not a surprise, right? I mean, given the way people are talking about it after the first test, it was not like Australia was completely outclassed or whatever. It's just that they were playing a superior team in conditions where they are far better at playing and so on. And we always discuss that there are going to be matches in which Australia is going to get their opportunities. One, they got a pitch on which Lyon was quite effective. And two, they won a fantastic toss. I think the toss was a massive, massive factor. And they could have batted India out of the match in the first innings itself, which they kind of failed to do. And, for instance, when we finished the day, yesterday's play, a lot of the talk was about how Travis Head took on the spinners and attacked the spinners, and therefore that's the right approach to do. And now at the other end of the, not the other end of the world, but at the far end of the world, there's also bass ball going on. And there's always a talk about why can't everybody bass ball like against attacks that they are not good enough to survive. So it's fair to argue that it's a worthwhile shot at playing Ashwin and Jadeja. But the only counter I would argue is that, short selection still matters. I was very surprised with the way Smith played that sweep. It's not just about the sweep. It is about how desperate that shot was. It's a bit like the way Ponting played in his first tour. Like, you don't expect Smith to play like that. I mean, Labuschagne also tried to attack. Khawaja tried to attack. But the point is that when Smith did it, it was so uncharacteristic. So I was a bit surprised by that. So that's one factor. But I mean, but the other thing is that if you want to do baseball against Ashwin and Jadeja, I thought Nagpur was a better pitch to do that, in the sense it was harder to survive. I thought the wicket had flattened out quite a bit in Delhi. I mean, it was keeping low for sure, but I don't think it was as penetrative for the spinners as the Nagpur pitch was for both Ashwin and Jadeja. So I thought that would have been a better pitch for them to try this approach. It was a bit of an anticlimax the way it went. But you can't appreciate Travis Head for what he did the previous evening and criticize the players today morning, because they were kind of trying the same approach. It's two sides of the same coin. And I would like to believe Travis Head took as many chances as other players did today. In fact, Labuschagne hardly took any chance. He was batting beautifully. And he was done in by a very good ball, which also kind of kept low. I don't think it's... See, when you're facing a bowling attack in which Shami is taking four wickets on a wicket like this, Siraj didn't even get to bowl. Akshar Patel, who I thought was the best equipped to bowl on this wicket, didn't get to bowl much. You can argue whichever way you want, but eventually it is just very, very difficult for batsmen. And sure, they could have had a different approach. They could have scored a little more runs. But I'm sure somebody would have counter-argued saying, oh, they should have gone for the kill, right? I have a lot of sympathy for Australians here. I still think that the idea of sweep shot was not the best approach, even if you want to sort of bat aggressively against these two spinners. And I also think Delhi was probably not the pitch to do it. The previous test was a better opportunity for them to try that approach.
No, and also it's like it's also dependent on so many factors, right? Like where you've grown up playing, how you play spin, the options that you have against spin. And if you are limited in your options against spin, which is a function of not just ability, it is a function of ability, but it's also a function of your nurture as a cricketer, then the sweep shot becomes an appealing proposition. But again, I mean, on this kind of pitch, I think it was an extremely perilous option to take. I mean, the Smith dismissal, right? I mean, a batsman as great as Steve Smith, who has so many options. I mean, the moment he played that sweep shot and the ball kept low, then, you know, on that kind of a pitch, you're always going to have an issue.
Not just the ball kept low. He missed it by a big margin. He missed the ball. I mean, that's a bigger surprise for me. He missed it by a big margin.
I mean, it did keep low.
Yeah, but that's not the thing. Like, even if it didn't keep low, sure, it kept low and therefore it was a very obvious LBW. But the fact that it was a poor choice of shot is equally true even if it was going over the stumps.
For me, actually, Steve Smith was the biggest surprise, as you say. I mean, you know, you can talk about Alex Carey and Renshaw and all these guys. Okay, I mean, you know, they are approaching this in a completely different mind frame. But I thought like a batsman like Steve Smith would go for, you know, maybe like coming down the track maybe a bit more, or, you know, playing with a much more straighter bat. Anyway, so yes, Ashoka, Jadeja taking 7 wickets. Please, what are your immediate impressions?
Abda, immediately.
Hot take.
Immediately, very disappointed too. I'm more disappointed with these Australians, man. Like, they struggle against Ashwin and give wickets to Jadeja. What the hell, man? And
they struggle against Jadeja also, by the way.
So, I kind of agree with everything Mahesh has said. But I think this is also, you know, there is very little time between Nagpur and here for Australians to do, you know, randomly acquire skills. This is not a video game. You can't upskill yourself after doing a quest for 2 hours. Like, these are players who have been playing the game in a certain way, and they have to trust what their plans in India. So that's what they thought, that sweeping Ashwin and Jadeja is a good option. But I mean, having said that, they applied it way too much for anybody's liking, for their own liking, I think. They actually tried to sweep everything and anything. But before all that, I think we should talk about Khwaja's first innings. I think even Australia's first innings, where they were similarly aggressive. They were, I mean, the 263 here could have been much less. Khwaja was extraordinarily lucky in that innings. His control percent, I was seeing, man, it was 60%, dude. That's enormous amount of luck. Labuschagne made an 18. He also, you know, started lofting them. I thought lofting, they were doing that pretty well, lofting Indian spinners for sixes and fours. They should have tried that in the second innings as well. And I thought the best innings in this whole match by Australia was from Mayank Skoum, that 72, a fantastic knock. And it was the same story as Nagpur. Like, I think they made, they were again 5 for 160 something. There they got all out for 177. Here at least they got to 260. And they had India in a lot of trouble. Again, once again, our Bapu saved us. And then second innings was second innings. And then that's about it. That's the game. That's.
Do you think that Khwaja first innings had an effect on how all the rest of the Aussie batsmen played in the second innings, given the amount he was sweeping? Yeah.
Was he sweeping? I think he was also using his feet coming down and lofting. No? So he was doing, he was not just blindly sweeping, at least in the first innings. And even in the second innings, I think the sweeping, that nonsense started. Yeah, sure, Steve Smith got out. But it all started after, you know, Carey, Cummins and the lower order, no? Middle and the lower order. And Hanscom still got caught in the slips. Marnus Labuschagne was bowled again. So the top order still did what they did in the first innings. It didn't come off. And the bottom order, I mean, the middle and the lower order, what can you say? What other options do they have? So I thought, see, basically it will all come down to if you take too many chances against this spin attack, in which Akshar is not even getting a decent bowling. I mean, yeah. You're going to
Akshar has decided that, you know, he has to score as much as possible because bowling chances are not coming over here.
Second highest run scorer in the tournament. So if you're taking that many risks, it will come off. You'll get an 81 out of... And then people will say it's a gutsy innings. Or the next time around, you'll go 0 for 5 balls. It all comes down to what the quality of bowling is and how much risks you want to take. That's about it. I mean, Australia really need to... I don't know if Stark gets well, if Cameron Green gets well. I don't know. That's still not solving their problem. Their problem is how to tackle Ashwin, Jadeja and Akshar. And
to be fair, I mean, they picked, first of all, they picked three spinners in this test with one, you know, fast bowler. Like, how many times does that happen? Probably like, you know, one or two times in their history. And then, I mean, they did well. I mean, I think overall they did well. Yes, I mean, India's lower order came to the fore again. But at the end, you know, given what the resources, I think they did well. And
they could have even gone one more bowler up. But I don't know why. What is the great advantage they are getting by adding one more batsman here? I don't know. If Renshaw, between Renshaw, Head and Hanscom, they can keep...
No. Renshaw was the concussion sub. Renshaw was not even there. So basically, Warner played. And so Renshaw just came in for the second innings.
Oh, okay. Between Travis Head and Hanscom, keep Hanscom and play another bowler, no? I mean, give yourself another option.
But you have three spinners, no? You have to bowl them first.
Both Travis Head and Hanscom did well, by the way. So, you know, that's...
Also, it's difficult to justify the fifth bowler if you have three decent spinners and the wicket is so helpful to the spinners.
Aray, then, that is after the match, man. You're speaking, seeing the scorecard, man. I'm saying going into the test. Why do you want to go into a test with four bowlers? What advantage do you think in a spinning track that an extra batsman will have if five batsmen or six batsmen can't do their job?
For them, they also have Travis Head, Labuschagne and Steve Smith who can bowl a few overs of spin, right? So that is the additional cushion they have. And Travis Head actually has not a bad record as a spinner. Anyway, Karthikeya, you've stayed silent for too long. General impressions, thoughts? Pat Cummins Puran. I don't think there's much to say about Pat Cummins Puran, but
he didn't even bowl much in this test match. So no,
fair weather fast bowler doesn't bowl in harder conditions. Magra would never do that.
True. Well, two things really. One is that in 2017 December, Sri Lanka batted out a draw in Delhi. And they made 299 for 5. Since then, in the second innings of test matches in India, India have conceded 103 all out, 196 all out, 127 all out, 191 all out, 189 all out, 133 all out, 213 all out, 195 all out, 178 all out, 164 all out, 81 all out, 135 all out, 165 all out, 167 all out, 178 all out, 208 all out, 91 all out, and 113 all out. Okay. So getting to 200 against India in the third innings of a test match has been pretty much a miracle.
It's like you just said some evening prayer, man, just now. It was very nice to hear, by the way.
One of those test matches India actually lost, which is the first Chennai test of 2021, when England were bowled out for 178, but they had a big lead, so they won in the fourth innings. But the point is that it's really hard to score against India in the second innings of test matches in recent years. Actually, even before that, in the big scoring 2016-17 England series, where, you know, England were making 400 in the first innings and losing because India were making 600 in the first innings. Even in that one, in the second innings, there were collapses. No, late in test matches, it has been historically difficult to score. So that's one thing. So, I mean, it is really, really hard. And so these bowlers have acquired a reputation. I mean, the Australian batsmen are not stupid. I mean, they're not trying some stupid idea. You know, they've seen what other teams have tried and they've seen what works and what's possible. This is what reputation does. No, I mean, it forces teams to think up novel solutions. And the Australian solution is to sweep. But they've also been forced into it a little bit. I mean, Ashwin and Jadeja are different kinds of bowlers. You know, Ashwin bowls differently in the first innings of test matches compared to the second innings of test matches. You know, in the first innings, for instance, Ashwin is hitting the stumps. 29% of his deliveries are hitting the stumps. In the second innings, 40% of his deliveries are hitting the stumps. Jadeja, for instance, in the first innings, he hits the stumps. He's hitting the stumps 44% of the time in this series. And in the second innings, he's hitting the stumps 40% of the time. So both times, Jadeja is bowling pretty much the same. The other side is, I look at like how often they overpitch and underpitch. And by overpitch, I mean less than 3.5 meters from the stumps. That's basically a fairly generous definition of overpitching. Actually, if it's like 3.4 meters, 11 feet, that's actually not a bad length. But once you get to like 3 meters, 2.5 meters, it basically becomes a half volley. That's overpitching. Underpitching is if the length is less than 5.5 meters. So that's also a fairly generous definition. If you look at Jadeja overpitches 4% of the time in the first innings, and he underpitches 24% of the time. So he errs on the side of pitching short. If he does, you know, he doesn't err on the side of bowling half volley. In the second innings, it's similar, 9% overpitching, 23% underpitching. Whereas Ashwin, in the first innings, when he's not attacking the stumps as much, if he errs on the side of being short. Okay? Whereas in the second innings, when Ashwin is attacking the stumps a lot more, he thinks reverse. So in the second innings, when he's hitting the stumps 40% of the time, he overpitches 21% of the time. And he underpitches about 12% of that. For Ashwin, basically, to sort of hit the stumps, he feels he has to bowl a lot fuller, essentially. Now, when the bowling is attacking the stumps so much, and when there's turn, like some are turning, some are not, when there's what Chain One would have called natural variation, you know, and in here, some of the natural variation is also like the bounce is low as it is, and sometimes it's even lower than that. Then, basically, the hitting options are from the stumps. And when the players are not overpitching as much, right, then basically the hitting option, the cover drive, the straight drive, these become like, basically batsmen have to step out if they want to play this shot against Jadeja especially. And, you know, Jadeja is hard to step out to because he bowls fast. This is the problem for the batsmen. You know, firstly, there's very little respite. In a 10-hour spell, they're defending their stumps about 24 times, right? And that's a lot. So, you know, Steve Smith hit, like the first boundary Steve Smith hit today from Ashwin was a paddle sweep from the stumps. I think the second, I forget what the second boundary was, but it was also into the leg side. Nah, it was a lofted shot into the leg side. That's another big shot. And the third one, he tried to sweep, and the ball kept low and ball turned a little bit. And basically, I mean, to be fair to Smith, that was a fairly good risk to take because Ashwin had come over the wicket and was bowling outside off stump. So Smith could have fairly thought that he could get outside off stump. And so the sweep would be basically a free hit, right? Because he has a bat as a second line of defense and he can't be out LBW. Basically, the risk was forced on him. Then the alternative for them is to play like, you know, like Pujara does, which is to basically wait for the bad ball and just keep blocking. The downside is what happened to Pujara in the first innings, which is that, you know, while he's blocking, it takes one ball to turn a little bit more and keep a little bit low and for him to miss it. And if it's on the stumps, dead.
Which is what happened to Labuschagne in the second innings. Yeah.
Well, Labuschagne has this other problem, which is that he keeps going back. You know, I mean, Khwaja also plays back. For some reason, he seems to do it better. Like he rarely gets beaten when he's playing back, whereas Labuschagne goes back and basically a misjudgment of length from him. You know, and there's sort of this variation in pace also, you know, with Jadeja. You know, sometimes he's late 90s, sometimes he's late 80s. Average, he's 92, I think.
Okay, let me ask you this. As somebody who, has analyzed DRS and has studied DRS, do you think that in this DRS, in the DRS era, do you think it is prudent to sweep so much?
It's more prudent. Actually, what DRS has done is that it has taken the pad play out of the picture. No? So the way Kohli bats, for instance, you know, with the bat never going beyond the pad, is really a throwback to the pre-DRS era. No? Because what is Kohli doing? Kohli is basically doesn't want to push his bat out in front of his pad because he doesn't want the inside edge to go to the fielder at short leg. So he keeps he makes sure he plays the ball, you know, at the most in line with the pad, never for too far ahead of the pad. You know, he wants to stay off leg side of the ball, basically. And when that fails, then he has a problem because Kohli then has to consciously make an effort to get the pad out of the way if he's going to play with the bat. Right? So under DRS, that sort of playing well forward with the bat and pad close together. And under DRS, it's umpires are giving it out because, you know, DRS is showing that, you know, it's almost always hitting. So that option has gone away. You know, it's also why England played so many shots in India, no? Because, you know, that defensive choice is just gone. It's not there anymore.
Yeah, so and even Pujara is probably the last of the batters who will play the way he does against spin.
Yeah. Pujara really, at his best, he makes sure he meets the ball with the bat. But, you know, on these types of wickets, you know, if the ball misbehaves, turns a little bit more or turns a little bit less or keeps a little bit low, then, you know, bad first impact is very highly likely given the way these guys play. Whereas Rahul Dravid, for instance, is the only guy I can think of who used to play with the bat well out in front of the pad. Like he used to defend with the bat in front of the pad, especially against the slow left-arm orthodox. And he was really good at it. I mean, he was better than any of these guys that I can think of. You know, so, but he was the only one. I mean, I don't even Tendulkar didn't always play like that. You know, Koonerman took 2 for 110 in this match. And his control of length is nowhere near what Jadeja's control of length. And he gives off so many freebies. No? And it's a really, really difficult thing what Jadeja does, you know, to bowl that quick, that consistently, and with that control of length. You know, the length is absolutely the key, you know, because imagine if these guys keep bowling, you know, one or two half volleys every over, then they're going to get taken for runs. Then Rohit Sharma will have to defend runs. Then he'll have fewer fielders in the catching position. That will make bat surviving easier for the other four balls. So you can't even say, okay, I'm going to block these guys and somehow try to survive because then there's other lesser bowlers who will give me half volleys or short ones every over.
Yeah. I mean, in the first innings, Shami took 4 wickets. So, you know, it just tells you the depth of that attack. Yeah.
Shami has 7 for 7 for 101 in the series, Shami's part.
I mean, this is pretty much as good an attack that you will get to face, man. I mean, leave alone in current cricket, also in like if going back. I mean, this is like elite of the elite bowling in these conditions. So there's no doubt about any of that. But my only thing about the sweep, as I was thinking, was not the sweep, the way Australia went with this sweep tactic in the second innings. My only thing was like, this is the equivalent of going to like Perth in the heyday of the WACA and trying to ramp balls over the slips. I mean, that cannot be your primary strategy, right? That is okay. It may happen once in a while, but I mean, you can't make that as your step A. I mean, planning. No,
also, the sweep is an interesting point. Like, I mean, Khwaja, for instance, plays the sweep really well. And that's his go-to shot. Even playing off the pitch, for instance, that's the way Khwaja plays spinners at home in Pakistan, in UAE and whatever. If you remember that epic innings that he played, the fourth innings red guard action against Pakistan in the UAE, it was a very similar inning. So he's not playing out of his character here. The problem with Labuschagne, I believe, is that he doesn't play like that everywhere. He doesn't play spinners off the pitch all the time. So it is unnatural for him. It's a thing that he's trying for the series because that he thinks that's a better way of dealing with the threat of Jadeja, Ashwin and Lakshya. So when Khwaja plays spin and gets out, even like, you know, some people criticize his second inning sweep, but I don't think so. I think that's a percentage shot for him. And even the reverse sweep that he got out to in the first innings is a percentage shot for him. So I have no problem with that. Even someone like Carey, for instance, he backs himself to play the sweep ball even before it became like a coordinated strategy. That's the way he bats. If you remember the Nazir Hussain, Duncan Fletcher era of English cricket, when they had a reasonable amount of success in the subcontinent, they swore by the idea of sweeping, right? I mean, Graham Gooch was a batting coach, if I'm not wrong, for a brief while as well. And Duncan Fletcher swore by the idea of sweeping the spinners in the subcontinent. And they went about
the press and the sweep. Yeah.
Yeah, but they went about it. I mean, they had absolute conviction about it. Sometimes it backfired, but they kept on doing it. Eventually to a point where they were better off sweeping than trying to, you know, play with a straight bat. So I have no problem against the idea of spin, but I don't think it came out of conviction. With Khwaja, it comes out of conviction. With Carey, it comes out of conviction. But the rest, you can't just turn around and switch on something like that. And also, like, the idea of sweep itself is okay. I mean, I totally buy into KD's defense of Smith's short selection. But when Smith plays a sweep, you know, he was not in control at all. Like, he was not trying to sweep it with control. He was just trying to lift it over a vacant area. And of course, sure, Ashwin bowling over the wicket changes the odds. But you still have to connect. You know, second line of defense is fine, but you miss it by a massive margin. And for a batsman like Smith to miss it by such a big margin was a bit of a shocker for me.
Crickways have just posted this tweet about sweep shots in each innings of this test match. Okay. And basically, India, when they batted, the first innings they played sweep shots to 1.4% of balls. And in the second innings, it was 1.3% of balls. Whereas Australia, in the first innings, it was 4.2% of balls. And in the second innings, it was 10.7% of balls. You know, now this is, in my opinion, an example of a spurious measurement. Because it's not that Australia swept more often in the second inning. It's that they got out the first time they tried it in the second inning. So obviously the percentage of sweep shots as a percentage of total shot is higher. So this doesn't really tell you what they think it's telling you. No. I mean, I don't necessarily think they played the sweep shot more in the second innings or anything like that. I mean, I think we are inclined to sort of try to explain, you know, 8 for 28. But that's just, you know, it's like 36 all out. No, it's a, and in especially in India, in the second innings of test matches, as I recounted, telling you all the scores, it's not uncommon. You know, the teams are getting out even when they don't sweep.
I'm happy to buy into that. And they could have tried another approach and they could have had similar results. But okay, let's take the example of Nathan Lyon in this match. He bowled beautifully. The wicket was quite helpful for him. And it's difficult to score off him, right? Even in the second innings, in the brief sort of stay that Rohit Sharma had, when he tried to hit him out of the attack, he was going for what are his percentage shots. Even when Shreyas Iyer went for those shots, one he hit and one he missed, he was going for what are his percentage shots. You've seen Shreyas Iyer do that so many times. He was backing his strengths. when you look at Pujara and Kohli, particularly Kohli, I mean, even Pujara, for instance, tried to play the sweep last time around. But Kohli doesn't do that. Even when he's not had a big score for a while and facing a bowling which is causing quite a lot of jeopardy, as KD would like to call it. But he was still backing his natural game to come through. And you would expect someone like Smith to do that. To some extent, even I'm a little bit surprised by Labuschagne doing it with very limited success so far. And on both occasions, he got out because he's playing off the surface. He's trying to play off the surface. So, you know, that's what surprises me. See, it's entirely possible that they could have had some success with this approach. And it's entirely possible that they could have played the natural game, backed the strengths, and still had the same results. But that's not the point. I'm just trying to understand, is the method driven by reasonably solid sort of baseline data that they believe that this is the way to go about it? Or is it like, okay, our normal methods are not working against these two guys in their conditions? Let's try something new, right? Sure, let's try something new is always going to result in surprises. But I'm not comfortable to assume that these are based on good percentages.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit skeptical of this business of, you know, looking at the ball on which a player is dismissed and reading endlessly into it. You know, it happens with both bowlers and batsmen. You know, for instance, there's this whole thing about, you know, Ashwin bowling to Labuschagne and Smith, and that Ashwin is bowling more side spin to Smith and less more over spin to Labuschagne or some such. And that's almost certainly not true. You know, Ashwin is bowling all sorts of things to all sorts of people. He's bowling both things to both people. You know, a batsman gets out because on that particular delivery, the batsman is beaten and, you know, something happens which, according to the laws of cricket, is out. You know, that's entirely coincidental. You know, that outcome occurs and the wicket falls. You know, the far more interesting is, what is the bowling doing over a spell or, you know, over a session, and what is the batsman doing over a session? And the big difference I noticed between the Nagpur match and the Delhi match is that in the Delhi match, the Australians seem to have decided that they would try at least to hit the spinners a little bit, try to force the spinners to, you know, bowl to more defensive peaks. And it did work. You know, I mean, I think one of the things is also happened is that in this test match, I think 15 wickets in the match, or actually even more, I think now 16 wickets in the match, fell between the 10th and the 30th over of the innings. So basically in this match, it seemed to me that when the ball was brand new, it would skid off the pitch and not grip at all. And when it was slightly older, it would grip and it was still hard enough to sort of rip through fast. And then when it got softer, it would grip, but it would not move off the pitch that quickly. So it slowed down a little bit. So it was possible to play off the pitch. And, you know, you saw like, you know, Handscomb and Akshar Patel and Ashwin and all these people around who batted around 50, 55, 60 overs. They had a pretty good time of it. So.
No, but that's the thing that even Akshar Patel mentioned. No, he said precisely that at the end of the day. And but isn't that more of a reason why Australia would try and get through that phase and then, you know, try and hit or try and score the runs?
How do you get through that phase? No, that's the question. And the way to get through that phase is to try and spread the field a little.
No, but you got two guys averaging 60, man. They have a method which has worked so well for them over so many years.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter how much you average, no? When the ball is going to, you know, turn and, you know, give you 1/10 of 1 second to adjust over, say, 4 inches. That's
more of a reason why you don't suddenly start changing your method, like for the sake of it, right? I mean,
yeah, but I don't necessarily blame them. No, last time they got 91 all out blocking. What? It's not like
no, but that's not the thing, right? But I'm saying that the probability of you eventually batting long enough that way is higher, even though you will run the risk of getting 91 all out.
So since June 2022, England have won 10 test matches and lost one. They have the worst batting strike rate of all teams in test cricket during that time. They're getting out once every 48 balls, English bats. The thing is, they're taking chances and they're scoring about 36 runs of those 48 balls on average.
And they have the best team strike rate batting-wise.
Yeah. So they're taking chances. It also means that they're getting out way more frequent, you know. So that's a trade-off. I mean, I don't necessarily think that blocking is a better idea than not blocking.
No, but we are not talking about guys averaging 35. We are talking about two guys averaging 60. That means that there is a method that has yielded them sustainable success.
No, but they are scoring runs. No, I mean, at some point, they're going to make a mistake and they're going to get out. That's I don't think Smith and Labuschagne are Australia's problem. So I don't think Smith and Labuschagne can take Australia very far. I know you guys think that, you know, two batsmen can make a difference in a series. I don't think they're going to make a difference in a series. Not when there's such a big gap between the bowling.
No, they can't help Australia win a series, but I'm sure they can certainly give them a chance of winning one test.
Yeah, but they will at some point. I think next test, the indoor pitch was probably going to be much better than both of these pitches.
Even if it is better, Smith and Labuschagne are facing Aksar, Jadeja, Ashwin, Shami, Siraj. Whereas the Indian batsmen are facing a guy in his first test, second test, third test, yeah, and Lyon and Cummins. If Stark comes in, even then they are facing two people who are like very, very new. So they are going to get more scoring opportunities, the Indian batsmen. For Smith and Labuschagne, they are going to get scoring opportunities maybe thrice or four times in a session, if that.
Yeah. No, there's no doubt that India started off the series as a significant favorite, and they'll continue to be that for precisely the reasons that you mentioned. We are not arguing about any of this. I mean, there is no way in which the playing field is going to be level for Australia. That's not going to happen because India has simply got a magnificent bowling attack anywhere in the world, and particularly for these conditions. And that's always going to stand them in good stead. But that's not the point. If you want to give yourself the best chance of winning a test, or let's say a very low probability of pulling off an upset in a series, I would like to believe that Australia has got the bowling. Like, it's like Pat Cummins can't bowl like Waqar Yunus all of a sudden, right? He's not going to come and bowl full. And you saw that, right? When he tried to bowl full, he was not very successful because he is a back of a length attacking bowler. And that is the most precious of commodities in test cricket of all time, right? There's someone who could attack bowling back of length. I mean, that was the case with Marshall. There was a case with Ambrose. There was a case with McGrath. And all of a sudden you try to be somebody else. It doesn't work. And a bowler like Cummins realized that pretty soon. I'm just surprised by some of the approach, particularly Labuschagne, for instance, to kind of try to play everything off the surface. You know, see, Khawaja does it all the time. So it's not the same. Khawaja doing that and Labuschagne doing it is not the same for me. So I'm just surprised by their approach. I'm not saying, who am I to say? I mean, of course, they might go on to score 100 using the same method. I'm just surprised that you typically do not see people with that sort of track record to try to bat in a completely different way just because they got all out for 91 the previous test.
No, I don't think they're attacking completely different in this match. I think they do seem to have decided to attack a little bit more, you know, to not try to not wait for the ball with their name on it, so to speak, you know, to try and sort of try and score until that ball comes along. Australia got a bit of luck in the first innings of this match. Okay, when India bat first in test matches in India since last time the England won in India. After that, you know, since 2013, when India bat first in a test match in India, their average first innings lead is 221. Okay, when India bat second in a test match during this period in India, their average first innings lead is, I think, 170. So, winning the toss and batting first is worth 50 runs, basically. And if Australia could have, like, from 139 for 7, if they could have got one more wicket and, you know, ended things at like 170 or 180 instead of like 262, and they could have if they had, you know, a little more experience than Koonerman and what's the other guy's name, Murphy, then, or even if they had Stark at that point, you know, to sort of, because Stark has this ability to, you know, bowl full and straight. And with the old ball doing a little bit, that can be a handful. If they had that, then 80, 90 run first innings lead would have meant firstly that India couldn't attack as much in the third innings. Then they would have had to defend runs. So that was I think that was where they were in trouble. I mean, once India achieved like near parity in the first innings, it was over. I don't think there was any question of any other result.
But we must talk about we've spoken a lot about the batting, but, you know, we must talk about that first morning. I mean, both the first and the second morning. I mean, I thought, you know, both the first morning Ashwin especially, and second morning Lion. I mean, that was like such a two beautiful spells to watch. And the thing with what you mentioned, KD, about the, you know, judging the bowling based on the wicket-taking ball is so apt, because I was thinking of precisely that, about how, you know, the moment Ashwin gets a wicket, right, then, or anyone gets a wicket, then everything that you see after that is so much close in. Like, you know, the camera goes in as close as possible to the ball. You get the spin vision. Then you get the, you know, you get like extremely minute details. But, you know, you miss the, you sometimes the whole big picture arc, I mean, the long shot arc of the drift that actually does many batters in. You know, the side, maybe the side view, the side on view of the parabolic sort of trajectory of the ball. All that, you know, makes such a huge difference to appreciate Ashwin. And that dismissal of Labuschagne, I mean, the Smith dismissal was one thing, but that dismissal of Labuschagne was my favorite of that morning. It was just a superb bit of bowling. What came before, what came after, and what came during the wicket. And the very fact of why Labuschagne defended the way he did and was foxed the way he did, given what was happening before, it was just marvelous, absolutely marvelous bit of bowling. And the cricket for Karthik Krishnaswamy has a lovely piece on that whole spell of Ashwin's, which I will link. You should read it. It's quite a remarkable sort of spell that morning, I thought. Thoughts on that?
Also how he bowled to Khwaja, right? At one stage, I thought Khwaja was just, it was just hopes and prayers. I mean, he could have got Khwaja at least 9 to 10 times just from what I watched. Because one other great thing that happened on day one is our beloved Hotstar guys just cut, the site went down for some reason. So I had to catch the match much later. But when I was watching it live, I think he had Khwaja in trouble quite a lot, man. I mean, the first 40-45 runs that Khwaja made, I thought Ashwin could have had him 8 times, and even Labuschagne, before even Labuschagne got out, I thought he could have got him out like 2-3 times. It was actually the spell of the match for me. You guys will say I'm saying this because it's Ashwin, but it is actually the best spell of the match, that of this match for me.
What do you mean? We guys will say you are saying it because it's Ashwin.
Yeah, it's true. In this match, it is true. It is not just fanboyism.
If you don't fanboy a man like Ashwin, who are you going to fanboy? Come on. He's got a bag full of tricks. He's so consistent. He's always out there. And the point about KD's thing is that we had already discussed this in some of the context in one of the previous episodes, is that, you know, like, how are you going to make it exciting when Ashwin is bowling the same way throughout the match? Okay, Ashwin has been trying to deceive Labuschagne this way, like, throughout the series, you know. And sometimes he succeeds, sometimes he doesn't. Sometimes he succeeds in beating the batsman. Like, for instance, even today, he beat him, like, the moment he came over the wicket. He beat him and wrapped him on the pads. Of course, it was missing the leg stump. I'm just saying that he's going to create so many chances of getting these great batsmen out. And, you know, when he's actually successful, you got to make it exciting, man. Come on. I completely agree with KD's view, but imagine KD being on commentary. Oh, Ashwin has tried that 10 times. The 11th time he gets the wicket and you guys are celebrating this. What about the 10 times? You know, there was no close-up shot. I've been asking the cameraman for a close-up shot of the other side spin that he was bowling, the other overspin that he was bowling. He gave me no close-up shots. Now one wicket and you're giving me like 20 different shots. Sure, it makes perfect sense. But it doesn't sound
on commentary will be the anti-Sehwag. Remember this famous story about Ganguly and Sehwag sitting in the balcony, and every time spinner was bowling, chakka gaya, Sehwag was saying. So KD will be the anti of that. He'll be like, yeah, lucky shot. Yeah, luck. Pure luck. Only luck. Nothing but luck.
Chance. He's creating so many chances. He could have got a wicket. He missed it. He could have got a wicket. And one day he's going to get a wicket and you guys are going to turn around and call him a genius.
Yeah.
But let me give you one more stat.
Okay.
So India have taken 40 wickets in 2 test matches, right? There's been no bat pad catch in front of the wicket. There have been only catches that slip, short mid wicket. And that short mid wicket is like that KL Rahul's brilliant catch to the reverse sweep. You know, and there's been basically one catch at a backward square leg. That's how much the game has changed in India. And that's how much actually, I think that's how much DRS has changed the game.
I mean, talking about Ashwin, right? The one thing though that struck me when I was watching this spell, and it has struck me in different times as well. But the thing with Ashwin is that, remember the like the great batsman, like you know, when Sachin was at his peak, or when all these, Lara was at his peak or something. You know, the constant refrain was that they have three, I mean, even though they have only a split second to face the ball, they have like three different shots to play for that. And they can play each one equally well. And it's a question of them just picking which one. And then, of course, that makes a big difference because, you know, which they pick, do they pick the run scoring option or the surviving option or whatever. Ashwin, I feel, is in that sort of zone many times when he's bowling, especially because he knows he is so attuned to the conditions, the batter, the situation, the pitches, the length. Everything is so perfect in his head that when he loads up, when he's reaching that delivery point, I feel like he has three different balls that he can bowl with as effectively as he wants. And then it is a question of him having to choose. And that level of improvisation, right? Like to reach a stage of that level, it's like art. I mean, it's genuinely what great artists do. I mean, you know, a classical musician or so people like that, they reach that stage of perfection of their craft to such an extent that then they can improvise as they wish in that moment.
No, that's actually a great point, right? Because if you look at Jadeja and Ashwin, a lot of the stats that you're talking about is post-2002 England series or whatever, right? But the Ashwin and Jadeja of now are a completely different threat compared to even 3 years back, right? The both of them are on top of their like craft. And they are so, like, I mean, it's a difference between Lyon and Murphy, right? Murphy bowled well, but look at the way Lyon was able to exploit the conditions far better, and the experience and the accumulated sort of craft makes such a huge difference. So even if you're facing the same set of bowlers like 4 years back to now, they're actually not the same bowlers. They're far better version of those bowlers, right?
Yeah, that also brings in the point about this whole, you know, the whole, the what about Ashwin and Sena countries question that keeps coming up is also the fact of to actually master your craft, to reach that level of mastery in your craft, you need a certain level of, you need that sample size to actually go through, no, before you can reach this level. So if you don't, I mean, if you go to a country every 3 years or every 4 years, it's like Muralidharan, right? It's not like he did well in every single country that he played in. He had his
about Muralidharan, nobody talks about. Example. Exactly. Because he didn't do well in India. And because it doesn't form part of Sena, people don't talk about it. But he didn't do well in India.
Like apart from, say, like a handful of bowlers, man, who are like the elitist of the elitist, Dale Steyn, Malcolm Marshall, come on. I mean, how many cricketers are there like
that? But it's
that?
A very apart Indian thing, no? Like, nobody in Australia is thinking, oh my God, Pat Cummins is not an all-time great because he didn't do great in the last two tests. No, it's a very Indian thing, right? When we believe that the whole idea of downgrade, like Shreyas Iyer, right? He's not even played outside much, but people are already saying he's a home track bully. Give him a chance, even if you think he's going to fail, give him a chance to fail.
This is that Indian parent mentality. Oh. Like, you got 100 in maths, but what about chemistry? To get 100 there, then what about physics?
So no, it's not the parent thing. It's an Indian mob thinking, right? Where we are always looking for one point to bring somebody down. With Sachin, it was like he doesn't win matches. With Kapil Dev, he didn't bowl fast enough. With Gavaskar, he didn't single-handedly win matches. Right? You know, we always find something to pull somebody down. And with Ashwin and even Kumble, I mean, let's not forget that Kumble's you know, performance abroad started only after 1999. Before that, his record was not great. But actually, he took some 5-wicket hauls as well. But we did the same thing with Kumble as well, right? And for some time, Harbhajan had that benefit. But eventually, we did that to Harbhajan as well. But the point is, the conditions are not made for spinners to take 5-wicket hauls there. It doesn't even make sense for you to expect the greatest spinner. So Shane Warne is an exception. Muralidharan is an exception. But Muralidharan is also an exception because he bowled a lot of overs for Sri Lanka. Like, Ashwin doesn't get a chance to do it because you have Bumrah, Shami and Ishant earlier and Siraj now to complete those overs. So Ashwin cannot bowl like 40% of the overs that Murali could bowl for Sri Lanka, even in England.
Anyway, digressing. But yes, that was a beautiful spell. Nathan Lyon, yes, Mahesh, that ball to Rohit Sharma, Nathan Lyon. I mean, expert comments. What is your hot take?
Which ball? No, I mean, come on, the ball kept low and it was always going to... In fact, I was... Okay, the other thing that... Okay, I don't want to digress. I will address this. It's not a big deal. He was playing well and the ball was keeping low. In fact, I would like to believe that that second innings in the match was the hardest to play because for some reason it started keeping low even on the end of the first day, right? In fact, Rohit could have gotten out like that a few times on the first evening.
Hey, did you consider in his second innings... He sacrificed his wicket for the guy in the 100th test.
No, he didn't sacrifice. He took responsibility for a very pathetic decision he made.
He made a decision, but also there's another problem. I think when Pujara sets off that fast, he literally cannot stop. Like.
Yeah, that's true.
Coming back to the Lion spell, and it's not just Lion, right? What really fascinated me right through this test, and I want to kind of go back and figure out when did we start this, right? When did it become common for off-spinners to bowl round the wicket and still bowl the batsman through the gate while they're going for a drive? And the ball is turning. It's not just like going across, you know, in an angle. So they're able to get LBW.
Kidding?
They're able to get the ball to turn.
Classic Prasanna dismissal.
From round the wicket.
Yeah.
Yeah, he might have. But the classic Prasanna dismissal is the one that used to drift away and spin in. So he would beat the batsman in the air and he would also beat them off the pitch. That's a
classic off-spinner's dismissal. But to do the same thing, round the wicket was not common at all. And these guys are doing it so easily. You know, Ashwin did that to Labuschagne. Lion did that to Bharat. And not just the wickets. I mean, they create so many chances, right? They're able to
And it's
do
not just a bold. It's also an LB. They pitch online. Outside leg.
And the ball turns. It not only drifts, it doesn't hold its line. It turns.
That's because of DRS.
No, I'm sure DRS has made them work on this skill and refine it to a point where it has become mainstream. But like, for instance, I don't know, Graham Swan played under DRS, right? But I don't remember him bowling like this. So I'm just like trying to figure out when did this become a normal thing? I mean, we've kind of gotten used to it now. I'm trying to think of the earliest instance of this happening.
Is this a particularly Indian pitch thing? Like, does it... I don't know if this happens... when spinners are bowling in other countries, if like, for instance, Nathan Lyon is bowling as much around the wicket in Australia and getting like LBWs and bowls.
Even in Australia, I remember when Shane Warne was doing commentary, he used to always, you know, moan about Nathan Lyon not going over the wicket. He used to go around the wicket. And Warne used to say, I don't understand this. Why is he doing it? He should be bowling over the wicket and get a classical off-spinner's wicket or whatnot. Yeah, so I remember Lyon doing it, but Ashwin doing it, yeah.
They've been bowling around the wicket for a while to try and restrict the room and cramp them for room and so on, which is fine. I'm just trying to figure out when this sort of beating the batsman in the air, inviting a big drive and bowling them through the gate or beating them, you know, on the inside edge.
You know,
KD is right. It's probably not mainstream enough. We are just like making a theme out of two people at the peak of their craft doing it like in the same test. And that seems to give a mainstream feel to it. Maybe KD is right. Yeah.
No, Jadeja.
If it happens in the Ashes, then it'll become mainstream. That we have to wait for that.
Jadeja went around the wicket, to a left-hander. And he got Todd Murphy out LBW.
Yeah, same way. The bold, right? Not even LBW or bold?
LBW, I think. First test, not this
But
one.
That also, exactly. So that was also another sample which made me think. But again, all three are exceptional bowlers. So
Jadeja's ball to get Alex Carey today. I mean, it was such a... Like, had this been bowled to a right-hand batter, right? Like, it would have been like... And if the batter had defended and been beaten, it would have been like the perfect... Jadeja ball, like he got Michael Clarke out or like he nearly got Steve Smith out in the last test.
But Carey was playing a reverse sweep outside off stump to that.
Carey was playing reverse sweep outside off stump. This fellow was hitting top of off and getting it out. Top of leg, I know. Yeah. Top of leg for Carey. But then with the reverse sweep, it became top of off. Anyway... The important 2 points to discuss. One is India's depth continues to help them win test matches. I mean, Akshar Patel is like reaching legendary levels now. He's becoming India's best batter. No? Like top order, I think Nathan Lyon had a comment, right? He said it's not a lower order. It's just a very long top order, which is very true. It's like, I mean, just reverse the order, man. You never know. These guys may suddenly, Virat Kohli, Pujara and all facing the slightly older ball may become legends again.
No, like, no, but
that'll
establish the point, right? Like, it's sure you can bat after the ball gets older, after the bowlers are tired, and score these runs. When you reverse order, we might actually get some, you know, get some truth from it, right? Like, some of the outrage against batting will die down a little bit.
KL Rahul will hit 100, neck on the line, he will hit 100 and all.
I think we've crossed that stage. Venkatesh Prasad's angst has done the job.
Yeah, Venkatesh Prasad is so angry, man. It's like, after Amir Sohail, I think next KL Rahul has angered him like this. What is going on?
See, when one Karnataka team member takes on another Karnataka team member, there is no merit involved in that. There is something else going on.
No, AB Van, Ashoka, I think you guys have pissed him off. That's why he's sitting quietly. But I think there's a simple answer to Sidhvi's question, which is that, are you kidding? They have reversed the order.
Yeah, I've been tweeting about it, saying that India's tail-enders are putting a lot of pressure on their batsmen.
I mean, even Siraj is getting behind the line of the ball, man. What is going on? There's no fun in...
Once in a while, this Kohli guy is hitting runs, and that also, he's getting some marginal decision, and this KD comes and says, no, that's how he plays.
Let's actually get serious. I thought Kohli 44 was quite beautiful to watch. I mean, there was something there that, you know, about the authority with which he was batting against Sipuna. That was quite good, man. Good to watch.
Yeah, what do you mean? I mean, he's a good player, yeah. I mean, come on.
No, I mean, he's a good player, but, you know, you constantly keep thinking about the, you know, pre-COVID Kohli and post-COVID Kohli, and, you know, over the last 30 matches, whatever, 40 matches, there has been a dip in the average, right? So you think about all that. But the quality of play against spin on this pitch, and, you know, he hardly sweeps anyway. He rarely gets down the track. When he got down the track, he got stumped. I mean, he got the time he got not down the track, he got stumped. But even then, I mean, just to be able to, you know, back from the crease and extend your front foot and go back in front, depending on the pitch, is really good. And to also play the ball, so, you know, the bat and pad way, as in the very non-DRS way of batting, which is...
You get the sense with Kohli, though, that whenever he steps out, he's sort of guessing, he's premeditating. It's not that he sees the ball above his eye line and steps out. He decides this ball, I'm going to step out. And then he steps.
Yeah, Rohit does the other way, like you said. Like he steps out based on where the ball is in the air. But I think Kohli is different. He's a
proper batsman, man, trained in the proper Bombay school.
In Borivali. Yeah, correct.
Like, when you want to celebrate Rohit as like Bombay batsman, when you want to dump him, you're like, you know, your fellow. Come on.
He has figured out these pitches better than anyone, man. I mean, Rohit understands how to bat on these pitches better than anyone in both sides of the both teams. And, you know, I mean, what? He scored 30-odd in the second innings, but that's like 1/4 the chase, man. So that's really vital in itself.
No, at one stage, I wasn't even joking when I told you guys on the group chat. Like, it looked like he could score 100 out of 114. You know, if he had Pujara for company and the way he was batting... Oh my goodness, it was so good to watch. So beautiful to watch. Unfortunately, he committed suicide.
You know, when very often you see batters respond to a ball in a certain way, right? Like Sachin had this famous spectacular duck that he used to do when he got out to a lower ball. And there are many batsmen who act. And Rohit Sharma, the way you saw the way he got bowled, there's a very sort of awkwardness and ungainliness about that whole thing. You feel like, what is this guy? I mean, does he even know how to play spin? But I think that what we miss out is the credit to the bowler, you know, to have actually got a batter into such a position of clumsiness, you would have had to get the length so perfectly right. And I think that ball from Lyon was that level of, you know, perfection to him. So I think it's not necessarily a bad thing for Rohit to have got out to that ball.
First of all, the amount of Bradman sacrilege that goes on in this podcast. Random people and all, you're calling Bradman. Suddenly, Rohit Sharma is Bradman. Suddenly,
what is Rohit Sharma's average in India, man? I mean,
it's not 99. No. It's not 99, no. That's it. End of argument.
I mean, okay.
One day, I call Shardul Thakur the next sobers. That's it. The next two series, I am getting hammered on the pod, on Twitter, everywhere.
And that guy justifies the tag.
Shardul has no comparisons, dude. You cannot even compare Shardul to anyone because he's just Lord. That's it. No, nothing else to say. Rohit, we are occasionally saying Bradman, quasi Bradman, this Bradman.
Sobers may be Sir, but Shardul is Lord.
Yeah, and that too, Rohit, we are putting filters and all at home against this team from this time.
I mean, look at the modesty even in the tagline, in the name, right? We are calling him Borivali Bradman. Like, look at the modesty. We are not even giving him Bombay. Yeah. Bombay is also B, right? We are not calling him Bombay.
What else? He's from Borivali. What else are we going to call him?
No, we can call him Bombay.
You can call him Bombay Bradman, right? Or we can call him home Bradman. No, but you are very specific. You're like, you can only be a Bradman in Borivali because the moment you come out of Borivali, we got other Mumbai cricketers, right?
Steve Smith is, there is a case to be made that Steve Smith is the next greatest batsman after Bradman. So that also is
at least Australian batsman, if not all over.
I mean, as usual, you know, how many you guys have left, you guys have let Sidhvi off the hook. You guys just pounced on Rohit and whatnot and then let silently KL Rahul go under the
car. KL, come on. What was that second innings dismissal, man? Like, absolute no, freak which show school of is
he
dismissal.
From? Which school is he from? Is he even a Bradman of his school?
No, I think
Hill Station people are excused, man.
I think Venkatesh Prasad is going so crazy about Rahul. What is there to say, man? I mean, what else is there to say? But I think, see...
My favorite thing about the whole KL Rahul thing is that people say like favoritism. That is the only reason why he's like favoritism.
It's like, no, I think, if you have Shubman Gill in the lineup, then, you know, there is... I mean, I'm not saying Shubman Gill is better or worse or anything, but I'm saying there is a temptation to play... There will be a temptation to play Shubman Gill, man, at some point of time in the series, if not the next test. Then at least for the final test. I mean, there's just too much quality sitting on the bench over there to not play him.
When is that not true about India, man? Yeah. I mean, I won't be surprised if he's left out now.
No, it's always been true about India I wouldn't say always, but it's been true about India for a while now. But you don't get somebody, you don't see somebody getting such a long rope when that is actually true throughout this, let's say, decade.
And now we'll again bring in Rahane because he also got a...
But Rahane got a long rope after, at one stage he was averaging 50, dude. I mean, that makes sense. Like Kohli, for instance, is getting a long rope, but that's after he had a substantial career. But Rahul has not even had a substantial career. He's just promising a substantial career all through.
So he's made test hundreds in all over the world.
No doubt about it, right? There's no doubt. He will. You give him enough chances, he'll go. Like, you give him 10 matches in Antarctica, he'll score 100.
No, the thing is, I have a lot of sympathy for Rahul because he has reached this situation and he's playing on these pitches in this series, which happens to, you know, many batters. It's not like he's the first person to reach play on bowler-friendly pitches when his neck is on the line. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if... he gives way to Gill at some point, maybe in the next test or at least the final test.
You know, what's the funny thing? Not too long ago, Rahul had to make way for Rohit to become the opening batsman. And at that time, people are outraging, saying, you got this great, amazing talent like KL Rahul, and you're letting this undeserved Rohit have another stab at test cricket. And just because you want to accommodate him, you even make him an opener. It's amazing how the whole story has changed in a couple of years.
No, but Rohit... Rohit became the Rohit. No, like I'm saying, he completely justified him being made opener with all the performances that he has, which Rahul hasn't been comparable to what Rohit has done.
No, all I'm saying is that, you know, sometimes the public sentiment can be so fickle that a very similar sort of narrative against Rohit was also there, and he didn't even have such a long test career as Rahul has had. And it is entirely possible that if Shubman Gill had four mediocre tests, we're going to talk about Shubman Gill as well. And unfortunately, unlike Rahul, Shubman Gill, the hype is even more because we expect him to be the next Sachin. I wanted to talk about Akshar Patel's batting. One, he batted beautifully,
yes,
but
yeah,
the more
yeah.
important point that I wanted to discuss about is, did he hit Cummins out of the attack?
He destroyed Cummins' career. Finished. When Cummins looks back on his career in his autobiography, he will remember that.
Really? Did he?
Akshar Patel.
Did he? No, man, that's highly unlikely, man. Cummins is supposed to be better than McGrath, man. I mean, I'm being reliably informed by people who who are very intelligent.
Let's put it this way. Negra did not concede a single run to Akshar Patel. That's how great he was. Nothing. He didn't give anything away to Akshar Patel.
Arey, forget Akshar Patel. I don't think even Megra gave a run to Kohli, the greatest Indian bat.
Anyway, so yeah, we have covered quite a bit of this test. And I think fair to say that, you know, it was a really good, engrossing match to watch. Things unraveled quickly on the final day, but that happens in a test in India. And this bowling attack, again, I mean, it comes to the depth of this team with the batting and the quality of the bowling attack. It's just nowhere to hide. I mean, I would imagine that, you know, when watching, like at least for me, when watching an Australian attack in the late 90s, early 2000s in Australia, or like a West Indies attack in West Indies, or, you know, some of the great attacks in their own conditions would have been, you know, as suffocating and as hard as this, and would have required batters to come up with plans out of the ordinary, which Australia, you know, have tried to do but not succeeded. Let's see what happens in Indore, the third test, not Dharamshala. Mahesh and Ashoka, very sorry about that. You people are getting, Mahesh is being quoted by Cricinfo and all about his disappointment of Dharamshala. We will talk about that. I think there's a lot to be said about fans who invest so much and want to go for games and yet end up having to face these kind of situations. We'll talk about that after the third test.
BCCI should refund people plane tickets now.
BCCI should refund people's plane tickets.
But the problem is that there'll be like 100,000 people saying, oh, I booked the tickets, and it's very easy to make fake tickets and so on. I mean, it's got nothing to do with refund, right? You can't refund the experience that I was hoping for, right? Like, it's not about the money alone, right? It is about the fact that you don't even think about the fans.
It's the emotional connect, right? Like, more than anything, if somebody is living outside the country and is booking a ticket for a test match in India, there is something far more deeper going on than just having money to spend. And the very fact that you're not even acknowledging that, you know, in a release where you are saying, you know, where you don't even acknowledge the fact that there may be people like this, is disappointing. Anyway, let's keep a track of all that. There's a bit of a break between this test and the next test. So, yeah, we'll be back with you at some point. Hopefully, we'll have another podcast in the interim, not about the series, but about something else. But yeah, thank you for listening. 81allout.com is our website. At 81allout is Twitter. Leave up your feedback. You know, you can contact us on that. You can follow us on podcast, various podcasts. You can subscribe on the platforms. Rate and review us, please. That's great for people to get to know. And also ko-fi.com, ko-fi.com/81allout. You can support us by the books that we republish. All the links will be provided in the show notes. And thank you. Thank you for listening.
India have won the series. They're going to get back for two.